The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parsha is Parshas Shelach. The Parsha begins by telling us, וידבר השם על משה לאמור, שלח לך אנשים, send out people, ויוסורו אס ארץ כנען, אשר אני נשיא לבני ישראל. And let them go and spy out ארץ כנען, ארץ ישראל, which I give to the children of Israel. אישחד למטה אבייסו, תשלוחו כל נושאים בהם. One should be from every tribe, appointed by the Nosi. And Mesha sent out the people from the desert of Purim. And then the story tells us, it's a well-known story, they went to spy out the land, and all of them, 10 of them, with the exception of two, Yeshua ben Nun and Caleb ben Yefuneh, came back, and they were Meitzi Dibaso Oretz. They slandered Eretz Yisrael. And they said, we will not be able to go in, we will not be able to conquer, we should go back to Egypt. And why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu bring us out here? And that we should die in the desert, and our children, and so on. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu became very, very angry. And he wanted to destroy them all. And Moshe appealed for forgiveness. And finally, because they had mobilized the nation against Hashem, finally, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, he said that these spies, they will die immediately. So Esa Pomim, this is the 10th time that Klal Yisrael has tried me, has tested me. And all of the people, so they will wander in the desert for 40 years. B'mispar hayomim asher tartem eso oritz arboim yem. This is later in Pasuk, Perek Yudalet, Pasuk Lamed Dalet. They went a spied out the land for 40 days. Yem lashona, yem lashona. I will give them 1 year for every day. Tisu esavneisechem arboim shona, vidatem esnuasi. They will wander in the desert, corresponding to those 40 days, 40 years. And here this generation will die. Anyone who is over 20 years old was libeled, and he was from those who sided with the Meraglim, became liable for this punishment, and they all died shortly at the age of 60. And the new generation will go into Eretz Yisrael, those who were less than 20, or those that were to be born. The whole nation was involved in this hate, with the exception of Shevet Levi, the tribe of Levi, and the exception of the Noshim, of the women. The women wanted the land. It was the men that were the ones who had slandered the land or sided with the spies. Now, just to give a short background as to what are we speaking about here, the Meraglim was sent out to spy the land in the second year that Klal Yisrael were in the desert, and this was Erev Rosh Chodesh Tammuz, at the end of Sivan, right before Tammuz. It's very similar to where we're holding now. We're almost at that point, because the Klal Yisrael went out of Egypt the year before on the 15th of Nisan. Then it states Bachodesh HaShlishi, in the third month. It was Nisan, year in Sivan, in the third month. Bar Sinai, they came to the desert of Sinai. And they stayed in the desert of Sinai, next to Har Sinai, for a full year, less than 10 days. So, a full year from Rosh Chodesh Nisan, excuse me, from Rosh Chodesh Sivan. Rosh Chodesh Sivan is the month that the Torah was given in. The 6th of Sivan is when they received the Torah. For a full year would bring them to the following Chodesh Sivan, but it was a full year less than 10 days, so that would bring them to Chof Iyar, the 20th day of Iyar. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted them there a full year, because that was the Simchas HaTorah. They received the Torah, they rejoiced. As I'll say, it's like when someone marries an Isha Chadosha, a new wife, Nokiya Lebesai, Shona Tamima. He should be near his home for a year. He shouldn't travel around, or he shouldn't get involved in the army or other such things. From there, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to bring them directly into Eretz Yisrael. And in the previous parsha, Baalei Sichot states that Moshe told Yisrael, Nesim Anachnu, that we are now going. Stay with us. We are now going. This was the first Maaseh, the first journey. We're going on a 3-day journey to Eretz Yisrael. So, from Egypt, they went to Har Sinai, which took them, it was in the third month, but took them only the 49 days of Sfira. And from there, they had a 3-day journey to Eretz Yisrael. And even that 3-day journey, it states, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it where it took them only 1 day. So within 1 day, they were already at the borders of Eretz Yisrael, ready to go in. And in last week's parsha, we learned about a number of paronioses, a number of tragedies that took place. There was the Misaidinim, when they started to complain that they're too long in the desert. There was the Asafshuf, they started to complain that they wanted meat. And there was Vatidaber Miriam Va'aron. Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moshe, and the camp waited 7 days for Miriam. So this all caused a delay. This caused a delay of approximately 40 days. So instead of going into Eretz Yisrael immediately, it was postponed until Erev Rosh Chodesh, till the end of Sivan. Should have been approximately the 21st day of Iyar. Instead, it was for the rest of the year and the whole month of Sivan. So at the end of Sivan, Erev Rosh Chodesh Tammuz, they were now ready to go in. And the people came to Moshe and they said, wait, not so fast. We want to see the land first. And that's where it brings us here. So actually, the whole ordeal would have been very, very easy and very short. But because of the Meraglim. Now this is a case of a derech ksora, shinasa arucha, a short way that became a long way. It took them, because of this episode, they were delayed another 40 days. States, 40 days they searched out the land. And those 40 days turned into another 40 years. And those 40 years turned into a whole lifetime, because it was not the generation that went out of Egypt, but it was a new generation now that was coming into the Eretz Yisrael. When the spies returned 40 days later, the Chazal tell us it was Erev Tisha B'Av, in the 30 days of Tammuz, and then the 9th of Av. And when they gave the report, and all of the people heard, they gave slander that the land is a strange land. There are giants living there and nations living there, and the fruit is strange. So it states, in Perek Yud Dalet Posuk Aleph, Atiso Kola Edo Vayitnu Eskola. that the whole nation, when they heard this, they raised their voices, Vayivkoa balailahu, and the nation wept that night. What was that night? That night was Tishu B'Av, the ninth of Av. The Gemara brings that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Atem b'chise b'chie shel chinam, you are weeping for no reason whatsoever, because I've already told you that you will be able to conquer the land. Ani keveya alechem b'chie shel deris. Because of that, I will make this night a night of weeping for generations. And the first Beis HaMikdash became destroyed on that night. And the second Beis HaMikdash became destroyed on that night. And we went into Golus, we went into exiles. The Golus Bavel and the Golus Edom, the exile that we are in now, and all of the consequential, subsequential tragedies that took place through our whole Golius stems from here. The Maral says that had there not been this interruption, but the same generation that was taken out of Egypt would have immediately gone into Eretz Yisrael, then just as we went out of Egypt with all types of nisim gluim, open miracles, and it was irreversible, the Yetziah, the Exodus, so would have been the Yerushas Ha'oretz, the inheritance of Eretz Yisrael, would have been with all types of open miracles, and it would have been irreversible, and we would have never gone into Golus. We would have never lost the land. But because there was this full stop, this interruption, and those that went out died in the desert, and a new generation had to go in under the leadership of Yeshua, so it became a Yerushas Ha'oretz, an inheritance of the land that was not forever. And this is why we find the consequential Goliath exiles from the land. Now the Gemara brings on this in Masechta Erechim and Teshvav. That Amar Rabbi Yehuda, one second, I'm just looking for it here. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda says, Esen Nishenis Nisu Aveseinu LaKadosh Baruch Hu. 10 times did our fathers test the patience of Hashem. Shnayim b'yam, twice in the sea. Shnayim b'mayim, twice when they asked for water. Shnayim b'mon, twice with the mon. Shnayim b'slov, twice with the quails. Achas be'egel, once with the golden calf. Achas b'midbar poron, and once in midbar poron, that was here. And on this one, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that he told the people, he said, Esher Pomin, see, 10 times you have tested me, and this is the last time. And therefore he will not forgive us on this sin. And the Mishnah tells us, here in Erechim, it states, Shechein Matsinu Shalein Katim Gzadin Ala Veseinu Bamidbar Ela Loshen Hor. We see that the final decree that came upon our fathers in the desert of all of the 10 times was on Loshon Hora, as it states, Shenema Vainusi Ze Eser Pomim, that this time you have tested me 10 times, and this the 10th time, and this time I shall forgive. The Gemara tells us further, it starts with the Mishnah where it states, Bemetzi if someone is meitzi shemra on an arov, someone slanders a young woman, he takes a young woman for a wife, and then he slanders her. He goes to the Beis Din and tells her that she committed adultery. So then the penalty is mea sela. He has to pay 100 shloim. If a person takes a girl and he's ma'anes her, he violates her, he has to only pay 50. Now, we would say that a esa maisa is more chomer than a esa beper. We would say that when you do physical action, that's more than merely talk. We see not like that. See, the Mishnah tells us that nimtzo, the esa bepiv is chomer mina esa bemaisu. That when someone damages someone through speech, that is more severe than when you damage someone actually through a physical act. And this is what we find here also in the desert with Klal Yisrael, that when they spoke Loshon Hara, HaKadosh Baruch Hu held them more responsible than when they actually did bad deeds with their action. The Gemara asks on that. Firstly, maybe over there by the Meitzi Shemra, where he slanders a young woman, maybe it's because he brings her to Beis Din and she can be punished very severely if it's true what he's saying. So the Gemara says no, because it's in the Torah explicitly says that his punishment is because shehotzi shemra, because he slandered her. Then the Gemara says, how do we know that the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu was so strict, was so severe with Israel, because they slandered the land? Maybe it was collectively. They tested him 10 times. So collectively, all through the 10 times, this is why HaKadosh Baruch Hu punished them. But it wasn't merely because of the slander. Mimai dumadakati le mole soson. So the Gemara says no, because it states vayinusu osi ze eser pomim. Alzen ishatim zardim. Because here in the Torah, in our Pasha, it states vayinusi osi ze eser pomim, that I am punishing you for this time alone, for this 10th time alone, but not because it's accumulated. And that's how Rashi explains here in our parsha, the Zeh. Then the Gemara says, but the Meraglim, the spies, actually were involved in many chatoim, in many sins. They rebelled against Moshe, and they rebelled against Hashem. And they even said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not capable of conquering the land for us, which was kfira, which is already non-believers. Maybe this is why HaKadosh Baruch Hu punished them. So on that the Gemara says no, because it states in our parsha, Vayimusu anoshim meitzia dibas oretzro, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu killed them because they were heitzi dibaro, because they said Loshon Hara on Eretz Yisrael. So we see this is the reason. Maybe we'll say the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu was so severe is because they spoke Loshon Hara on Eretz Yisrael. But therefore, this is not, we cannot learn from there if you're going to speak Loshon Hara on something else or someone else. That we cannot learn from there. So the Gemara says, no, just to the contrary. The Gemara brings here Amar Blazer ben Pitro, Bore Eka Magorul Keyak Shaloshin Hora, Uma Ha Meitzi Dibo Al Eitzim Vavonim, Ha Meitzi Dibo Al Haver Al Achas Kam Vakama. So it's just to the contrary. When you speak Loshin Hora against Eretz Israel, you're speaking against the land which is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's. chosen land. It's Kodosh. But still it's Eitzim Vavonim. But still it's only earth, stones, it's wood. And if this is the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu revenges for that Lashon Hara, for that slander, so then how much more so if you're Meitzi Lashon Hara Al Chaveire, the Gemara says. See, so how much more so if on a human being. So the Gemara, what the Gemara does with all of this, see, is to show the great Aveira, the great sin, and the great severity, consequences of Meitzi Diba, of someone who slanders someone else. In other words, we shouldn't say the Gemara says it's because it was 10 times collectively, or because the Maraglim did other things also, or because they spoke against Eretz Yisrael. No. It was because of the Lashon Hara, and the Lashon Hara on Eretz Yisrael. But from here we learn, and even more so, when someone slanders a human being. Now, on this we can ask a question. Why are we being so strict here? But we just said that this is one of the greatest tragedies in the history of Klal Yisrael. Actually, it's brought there were two great tragedies. This and the Egel Azov, the Golden Calf. All right, the Golden Calf, we can understand. There was idolatry. You know, idolatry is a terrible, terrible thing. But here we're talking about talk. There's a saying in the world, talk is cheap. It's only talk. They only said something. Well, they mobilized the whole nation against Moshe. No, but the Gemara explicitly says that was not the sin. Oh, they said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't be able to conquer the land for us. They didn't believe in him. That wasn't the sin, the Gemara says. All right, this was just the straw that broke the camel's back. No, the Gemara says also that was not the sin. All right, it was Eretz Yisrael. No, the Gemara says also that's not the sin. The sin was because they Hetzia Dibora. They said Lashon Hara. But why? So why such severe consequences? It's only talk. It's only with speech. They didn't even do an act. We always find in the Gemara. The Gemara speaks of a lav sheish b'maisa. If you do something with a physical act, this is not even a physical act. So how do we understand this? Excuse me 1 minute. So this is, it's really to the contrary. From the Torah and the Chazal we see that the greatest sin that a person can do is with his speech, the Keach HaDibur. And it's far more serious than that what he does with his physical acts, his hands, his legs, his body. And the Chazal tells us this. Here in the Gemara in Erechin Adav Tezvov and Tezayin goes into great length. But in the Sugya on Tezvov, Seif Amad Beis, Omer Rabbi Shmuel, Kol HaMesapel Loshon Hara, Magdel Aveinis, Keneged Hagimel Chamuras, Keneged We have what we know as the Gimel Chamuris, the three most severe Averes, transgressions in the Torah. And every transgression, one, if he's forced to, he's supposed to transgress and not give his life. But when it comes to these three, he has to give his life before he transgresses them. And that's idolatry, murder, or adultery and incest. And still, the Gemara tells us, call him a sape Lashon Hara, someone who speaks Lashon Hara, slanders his fellow man. his Avera, this transaction, equals all three. Now the simple meaning, how we would understand this, is we could say as follows. Because when you commit an act against another person, you are physically hurting him, or you're hurting his possessions.
You steal from him. You damage. Or even if you hurt him emotionally, which can be even greater, a greater hurt. But you are not damaging his name. Lashon Hara, you slander someone, you're slandering his name, his reputation, his honor. And it states that Shem Tov is Elal Gabehem. The greatest asset, the greatest attribute that a person has is his reputation, his good name, his honor. And this is what Lashon Hara always does. Because when you speak Lashon Hara, it means that you are defaming a fellow man. That would be a good explanation, and a very, very easy explanation to give. This could be true. But actually, we find even more. The Maral goes to great length in a number of places, but he has a special Nesiv HaLoshon and Nesiv HaSolam. But he says that the severity of the Lashon Hara is not only from the aspect of the one who's receiving the damage, but from the mazik, the one who's damaging. He says we do not find any more powerful weapon that a person has in his possession than the keach had lost, than the power of the tongue. Why? Well, firstly, a person has his intelligence. But the intelligence cannot do much to someone else. Intelligence itself cannot do much to someone else. Can't harm someone with his intelligence. And also the intelligence is quite beyond the person. If the intelligence of the person is to act, it has to act through the physical man. We have the physical man. Physical man is limited as to what he can do. Like everything which is physical. Everything on this world that is physical has its limitations. And the intelligence acts through the physical man. Let's say he decides to steal from someone. He decides to hurt someone with his hand. He decides to hit someone. He decides to shoot someone. This is acting through physical man. All physical powers have their limitations. The same thing with the nefesh. Man is made up of a power of life, of emotions. This also has to interact with other people through physical man, and therefore it has its limitations. When we come to the Keach HaDibur, the power of speech, the power of the tongue, we see something unique, which is totally different than all other powers of the person. Because actually speech is something which is bilti gashmi. When a person speaks, he communicates, the person is interacting with others, but it's not in a physical manner. If you touch someone, if you hit someone, if you give something to someone, you're interacting with them physically. But when you speak, this is a non-physical interaction with people. This is the power of the speech, the power of the tongue. And if this is non-physical, then it's not limited to what all physical entities are limited to. And also, when a person speaks, what facets of a person go into that speech? Every part of the person. because without his intelligence he cannot speak. Without his emotions he cannot speak. The Keir HaNefesh. Without a physical body he cannot speak. He must have a mouth, he must have a tongue. The speech experts will tell you that if someone has a speech defect, a speech problem, many times it can be a problem which is rooted in the intelligence of the person, or it can be a physical problem, a physical impairment, or it can be an emotional impairment. Because the power of speech with that it itself is a non-physical communication, calls on all of the facets of the person to be able to produce this. Now the Gemara tells us here in Erechim, brings a pasuk from Mishle Yud Ches, but it says Moves b'chayim b'yat haloshon. Shlema Melech, King Solomon said, death and life is in the hand of the tongue. The Gemara wants to know, what does it mean that death and life is in the hand of the tongue? There can be some entities which are addressed to causing evil. There could be some entities which are addressed to doing good. Here we see both. Mobis b'chayim b'yad haloshon. The tongue is such an entity, but it can equally cause death or it can cause life. That's one question the Gemara has. A second question the Gemara has is, what does it mean b'yad haloshon? Yad haloshon means in the hands of the tongue. What is the hand of the tongue? So the Gemara brings Omer b'chamno bar b'reb chanina ma'adiksim mo b'zchayim b'yad haloshon v'chiyesh yad haloshon. Does the tongue have a hand? To tell us le'meloch ma'yad memiso af loshon memiso. First of all, the tongue is similar to a hand. If a person wants to harm someone else, his greatest power is his hand. He strikes out with his hand. The tongue can also do that. So then the Gemara says, if it's like a hand, which is physical, then it's subject to physical limitation. The hand can only strike out to that what's close to him. Is that also true with the tongue? So the Gemara brings another pasuk that states that the tongue is chet shochud l'shonam. The tongue is like an arrow. An arrow, first of all, goes a long distance, and it goes with a tremendous speed. The hand can only go a short distance, and it's quite slow. So then the Gemara says, if it's like an arrow, it's still subject to limitations. An arrow can go 50 feet, 100 feet, 100 meters. Even if we take some type of missile, whatever it is, there's going to be a physical limitation on it. Is that true with the tongue also? So the Gemara brings a pasuk that states, Shesu b'shamayim piham ulushaynam dahalech ba'oretz. That you can stand on this earth and you can slander HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who's in the heavens. What do we see from there? The tongue can shoot an arrow without any physical limitations whatsoever. Can you shoot an arrow at Hashem? Can't. But still you can stand here on this earth and slander Hashem, who's in the heavens. You can stand here and slander the governor of Hong Kong, okay, who's 5 or 10,000 miles away. So we see there are no physical limitations. So, then the Gemara says, but it is like an arrow, because just as an arrow kills, the tongue also kills. So now the Gemara says, all right, so if the tongue is mukhan, if the tongue is addressed to kill, So what does it mean, Momis b'chaim b'yad haloshon, that there is death and life in the tongue? An arrow, an arrow is created to kill. That's what the sword is used for. It's not used to give life, it's used to take life. So what does it mean that Shlomo HaMelech said that the tongue, death and life is in the tongue? So the Gemara says, because the tongue is different. Because everything is in the tongue. Boy chayim belishna, boy misa belishna. The tongue encompasses everything, which makes it different than everything else. An arrow, a sword, that's made to kill. There's other things that are made to give life, but you can't have one thing that's made for both. The tongue, the power of speech, is moves b'chaim. It's kel hakol. It encompasses both. Now, what do we learn from this Gemara? It's not a simple Gemara. We learn great things from this Gemara, the Maral says. When it comes to interacting with other people physically, so the hand is the representative. You want to give something to someone, you want to strike out, it's the hand. Yad HaLoshon, the tongue also has a hand, because it's used to interact with other people. But it's different than a hand, because a hand is physical, therefore it's subject to physical limitations. If it's 50 feet or 50,000 feet, it's still subject to limitations. The tongue strikes out with the power of speech. The speech is not physical. And therefore, you can stand on the earth, you can stand in one place and slander someone 10,000 miles away. You can stand on the earth and slander Hashem, who's in the heavens. There are no physical limitations. Also, the hand is very slow. This is like an arrow that is swift, because, again, something which is physical, because it is physical, then it's limited to the physical world, it reacts slowly. There is nothing which reacts so quickly as the tongue. And it's like an arrow that is swift. Then, it also is something that has no limitations when it comes to death or life, but it encompasses everything. He says, from this Gemara we learn that there are three attributes in the tongue. That first of all, it has no limitations in distance. Secondly, it has no limitations in speed. And thirdly, it encompasses everything. Another emes, another subtle clue that the Gemara gives us into understanding this power of the speech. The aver, the organ with which we speak through, is the tongue. The Gemara brings a story where all of the other evorim agluyim, all of the other you have in your, the body is made up with organs which are concealed in the body and organs which are revealed. For example, I mean, there's the intestines and the heart and the kidneys, these are concealed, and then you have organs which are revealed. All of the other organs, they mock the tongue, because the tongue is an organ which is revealed. Yet it's yeshiv b'cheshech. It was given almost like a cave to live in. He dwells in darkness. And the other organs pride themselves that if they are from the organs which are revealed in person, the eyes, the ears, they dwell in openness. The tongue, on the other hand, he says, now I am the most powerful of all the organs. The reason why he dwells in darkness, the Maral explains. What does he do? What is his object? His object is to create speech. What does speech represent? Speech represents the innermost secrets of a person. What he's doing is communicating to others his thoughts, his seichel. He's communicating to others his feelings. So the origin of the speech, starts in the mokmasesha, in the most secret parts of a person. The difference between the speech and a makshov and a thought is because the thought is something that a person thinks and it's not evident, we cannot see it, and it remains that way. Through the power of speech, he is able to be made see. He is able to take this, which is merely a thought, and formulate it into words and into sentences and bring it into the world and communicate it to others, and in a non-physical manner. This is what the tongue does. Therefore, this is why his abode is both panimi and chitzoni. Is both concealed and revealed. He has to live in a concealed place, because this, the work that he does is to take from the most concealed parts of man, and then he brings it out into the open. And this is what he is capable of doing. Now, when he brings out from a person something which is good, he is bringing out something which is life. When he brings out from the person something which is bad, which is evil, he brings out something that has the essence of death in it. Now, we mentioned the Gemara before, that the Gemara, excuse me, now the Gemara says, further, B'marova, in Eretz Yisrael, Amri, they would say, Loshen Tilsoi. The tongue is made up of a triple power. The Kotel Gimel. And when it's used for evil, it kills three people. L'Emre, the one who says the slander. Makable, the recipient, the one who accepts it. La'imrim olov, and the one who it is said about. This is what they would say b'marova in Eretz Yisrael, that haloshen tilsoi, the tongue, has a threefold power. So the Maral says, in general, we see that the tongue has a threefold power. First of all, from here. Secondly, the Gemara we mentioned before, the Gemara drew three principles on the tongue. That it's without any limitation in distance, it's without any limitation in speed, and it encompasses everything. He says another example we see, the Gemara that we quoted before, called the Mesapel Loshen Hora, Magdil Avenes Kenegi Gilarai Shvichas Domim Avenizora, that whoever speaks Loshen Hora, slander, this equals the three cardinal Avenes of murder, adultery and incest, and idolatry. Now, again, we see three. What's the explanation of this? She says as follows. The person is basically made up of three parts. He was made of a physical mass. It says HaKadosh Baruch Hu took man, Yitzhar Adam, Ofer Min Adama, he made him from the earth. This is his goof, this is his physical body. Then he gave him a nefesh. The nefesh is the life that he imbued him with. And from here comes all of the emotions of man. And then he gave him a seichel, an intelligence. So man is made up of three parts. Generally, when a person does an avera, if he does a sin, a transgression, so basically one section of man is involved in it. The three cardinal averas that we mentioned are the three worst averas that man can do, but basically one section of man is involved in it. Well, it's difficult to separate because man works as a unit, but still there's one motivating power, and the rest follow. For example, avodah zarah, idolatry. Idolatry, the motivator for idolatry is the mind of the person. This has to do with belief, see, with philosophy, with ideology. So the motivator for idolatry and for kfir, for denial in Hashem, this is the mind. This is the worst transaction that a person can do with his mind. When it comes to shfichas domim, murder, the motivator of murder is the nefesh organ. Because what motivates a person to kill? It's his emotions, his anger, his hatred, revenge, jealousy. These are always, a person doesn't kill with no reason why to kill. So what motivates a person to kill are the emotions of man. Gilarai shvichas domi. Excuse me, gilarai, adultery or incest. What motivates a man for that? That's the physical body. Physical desire is the motivator for that avir. So these three are the ultimate extreme transactions. And that's why on these three we have to give our lives first before transgressing. The tongue, states Magdal Avenis Kenegev Kol Gimel, is equal to all three. Because as we mentioned, the tongue has the unique power where it needs all three sections of man to cooperate and to contribute in order that the tongue can create its dibur, its speech. Because a person who does not have a physical body, doesn't have a mouth, doesn't have a tongue, doesn't have teeth, he's going to have a speech impairment. He won't be able to speak. And if he doesn't have the emotions, he also won't be able to speak. And if he doesn't have a mind, he also won't be able to speak. You can take an animal and give him a tongue and teeth and a mouth, and he won't be able to speak. So all three sections of man come into play in the power of the tongue. And therefore, if this is used for evil, this is Magdal Avenis. This is equal to all three of the other Averas, because this is encompassing Kolo Odom, all of man. And this is why we find Tilsoy, that there's a triple power in the tongue, because this is mobilizing and aligning all of the three powers of man. Now actually with this we understand something else. The sages always referred to man, his uniqueness. Generally, I would say, how should we distinguish between man and all of the other creations in their powers? The earth and the stones were called the daimen, which means a silent mass. It's matter. The vegetation which grows was referred to as a tzemeach. It has a power of growth. This a stone or earth does not have. The balechaim, all of the life which was in the creation, that was referred to as a chai. It's a lebedik, it's alive. How would we distinguish man? I would say that you should call man, he is the bal machshava. He has the power of the intelligence. Now, the sages always distinguish man from all other facets of the universe as the madaber, the one who can speak. because his power of thought is not his ultimate distinction. Because the power of thought is still very much in theory. It hasn't come into the world. And it's very much merely by him, in him. It's potential. It's theoretical. Man was made more. He's not a theoretical being. Man was given the power where he can take his thoughts and he can formulate them and communicate them in the world. Therefore, his great power is the Keach HaDibor, the Medaber. And that's he brings from the Targum. It's a well-known Targum. In the beginning of the creation, in Bereshis Beis, Pasuk Zayin, it states, Vayitzar Hashem Elokim Eso Odom Ofer Min Adoma Vayipach Ba'apov Nishmas Chayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man dust from the earth. He blew into his nostrils a living soul. Now what came from this? Vayodom L'nefesh Chaya. He became a living nefesh. What does it mean, a living nefesh? So the Targum says, Ruach Mamalo. Came from this a speaker. The speaker came from here. That's the ultimate of man. Rashi brings the Targum. Rashi says as follows. He says, what does it mean he became a nefesh chaya? He became a living being. But all of the animals and all of the fish and all of the birds are also living beings. Where's the distinction? See? So Rashi says, he became a living being b'dei v'dibor, with an intelligence and a power of speech. Adds on as a speaker. This was his ultimate. Because the power of the intelligence is not the ultimate. That is still theoretical. That still remains by him. But he was given a greater power to bring it out into the world. And therefore, if a person would sin with his body, all right, it's a faction of man. If he sins with his emotions, it's a faction of man. With his machshava, with his thoughts, it's a faction of man. It's not kol ha'adam. But when he is sinning with his tongue, then it's kol ha'adam. In this way also, he writes, the keach of loshon hara, of slander, of the evil tongue, that finds its origin, the sages tell us. Where? In the Nochesh HaKadmoni, the original serpent. Because, and it's always called, because of that reason, the Chet HaNochesh. It's the sin of the serpent, because it was the serpent that was the first one that came and spoke Lashon Hara. He came into the garden and he asked Chava, what trees can you eat from? She says, all of the trees, except the Eitz Hadas Teva Ra, except this tree, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And he said, you know why Hashem said you shouldn't eat from that? Because he ate from it, and through that he became so great, and he was able to create you in the world. If you eat from it, you'll be as great as him. This is why he told you not to eat from it. So the serpent was Meitzi Dibo. He said Loshon Hara against Hashem. What did he achieve with that? Misa. Maybe Misa la'olam. He caused them to eat. Through this, death was brought to the world. Because before then, there was no death in the world. This is Hamovis Biyar Haloshon. Death is in the hands of the tongue. Now, the serpent, his power of speech that he had was removed from him. In those days in Gan Eden, he was the king of all of the wildlife. And he was a very intelligent creature. That power was removed from him. He used to walk upright, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu cut off his feet and he crawled on his belly. But the Maral says we see even still a remes. We see still a little of that remains with the serpent. Firstly, the serpent is hated amongst all. He has no chaverim. He's hated by the human race. He's hated by the animal kingdom. No animal, animals will play with each other, but no one will play with a serpent. He says, secondly, you see, how is he mazik? How does he kill? With his tongue. He kills with his tongue. But what does he? How does he kill with his tongue? Through his tongue, he spits. He creates and spits a poison. He says, notice, it's with the tongue, but it's not with the physical tongue. The tongue brings out something which was concealed in him. That's how he is still similar to the power of speech. The tongue brings out the speech. The speech comes from the innermost part of the person. Kodesh Baruch Hu took his speech away, but this remained. But he still is the Mazik HaGodol, he's the great killer. But with his tongue, but where he brings out a poison which was concealed, and then it becomes revealed. And he says, what do we know about the serpent? We know about the serpent is to stay away from him. Those who try to play with a serpent get bitten and can get killed. He says that's the same thing with Lashon Hara. Anyone who has asik with Lashon Hara, he says, is going to get hurt. And we have to keep our distance. Just like, what do we do when we see a serpent? We make sure that if he's going that way, we go the other way. See? We keep our distance. He says, that's what we learn from here when it comes to the Lashon Hara. Because the tongue has the essence of evil in it, of Misha. Like Shlomo HaMelech said, Amovis biyata haloshon. But now, a final point he said. He said, Amovis behachayim biyata haloshon. See, the tongue is kol ha'odom. The tongue represents man in its entirety, like we explained. Man in his entirety can be either. He can be the greatest force of evil, he can be the greatest force of life. So therefore it encompasses everything. He says, Moves Vichai. And this is how he's unique. He is bringing out the essence of a person. If he brings it out in a good way, it'll be the essence of life. In an evil way, it'll be the essence of death. Gemara brings the pasuk from Tehillim, Samach Tes. Alalash Shem Elokim Bishir. David HaMelech said, I will praise the name of Hashem with Shira, I will sing to him. Gadlenu betoda, and I will make him great with my praises of thanks. With Tetiv Lashem Mishor Par, and this will be greater than even bringing a sacrifice of a bull, of a bull to Hashem, of bullocks to Hashem. So the Gemara brings on this that praise of Hashem through the power of speech is greater than praise of Hashem of bringing animals to him. And what we've explained is very simple, because when you bring sacrifices to Hashem, this is something physical, so therefore it's subject to physical limitations. But when you praise Hashem with song and with praises like David HaMelech did, so then you're giving him a praise that comes from the very essence of a person. And It's not physical, it's unlimited. And this represents Kolo Odom. So therefore David HaMelech said that I will sing to you praises which will be greater than if I would bring animals to you as sacrifices. And then the Gemara brings in Aveda Zora, if you test some advice, maybe a person will say that if the tongue is so dangerous and it says Sur Meira, you should keep your distance from evil, so therefore I will go and I'll never talk, I'll sleep a lot. A person sleeping, at least he's not saying Lashon Hara. Maybe a person will say that. Gemara says no, because it states Sur Meira Be'ase Tov. A person must distance himself from evil, but he must also do good. To distance oneself from evil, he's protecting himself from evil, but he's not doing any good. He's not speaking Lashon Hara, but the Meisim, the dead people, also don't speak Lashon Hara. Okay? And we are commanded, Sur Meira Ve'ase Tov. We're commanded to distance ourselves from evil and to do good. So therefore we must do good with our tongue. They used to say the Chofetz Chaim, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, he wrote and wrote and wrote, he wrote the whole Shulchan Aruch and Lashon Hara. So you would think he never spoke. It states now, wherever he was the one who spoke the most. Reisha Madabrim, he would speak. But he spoke good. He spoke things of mitzvahs, of Yiras Hashem, of chesed, encouraged people, say, strengthened people, complimented people, and so forth. Someone once told me a story that someone came to the Chofetz Chaim after he wrote his Shulchan Aruch and Lashon Hara, and he says, once you wrote that, now we can't talk anymore. There's so many halachas, and so many halachas, we just can't talk anymore. She said, to the contrary, he says, now that I wrote my Shulchan Aruch, now you're able to talk. He says, because beforehand, he says, we couldn't talk because we didn't know clearly what we were allowed to say and what we're not allowed to say. Now that we have the clear Shulchan Aruch and we know exactly what we're not allowed to say, so now we have license where we can talk and talk, as long as what we're doing is mitzvah. Now the Gemara brings that when it says, Sur Meira Ve'ase Tov, that it's not enough for a person to distance himself from evil, but he also has to do good. What's the greatest good a person can do with his tongue? The Gemara says, Torah. Ein Torah, the Ein Tov Ela Torah. Shenemar ki lekach tov nasati lochem. This means that when a person speaks of Torah, gives over Torah, there, there can be no higher level of chaim of life than Torah. And that's greater than merely thinking of Torah. That's why it states with the Balta Bom, there's actually a Brit Vega that goes into the issue that it could be that the mitzvah of Talmud Torah you can only fulfill by speaking in Torah, because it says with the Balta Bom. Because when you have Torah by you, it still has not come out into this world. Right? It's still in the machshava, which is still in the innermost part of the person, but it hasn't been brought out into this world. It is the power of the tongue that can. And this is why we find, and now brings the speech is called Niv. It's a pasuk that states Niv Sforsayim. Neve of the lips. Speech is called neve. The word neve comes from the word tenuva. Tenuva means fruits, the fruits of the mouth. Why is speech called the fruits? The greatest fruits that a person can bring out into the world. His main fruits, according to what we have said, is through his speech. The maisim, the acts are also fruits. But an animal also has acts. See? An animal also does things. So that's not the excellence, the par excellence, that's not the distinction of man. The distinction of the fruits of man are the nifs for sign. the fruits of his tongue. So this is why Shlomo HaMelech said, "Moviz v'chaim b'yad haloshon," that the essence of death, or better, the essence of life, lies in the power of the tongue. This gives us somewhat of an explanation as to, in this week's parsha, of the Chet HaMeraglim.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information, or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.